It's Wacky Wednesday here at La Frick Show. The world's gone wacky. Not really. That's highly predictable. Just look at the markets. Follow the money. That's an easy way to keep track of who's who, who's doing what to whom, who benefits. What was the name of that? How does that go? Qui bono. Is that how it goes?
Yes. Qui bono.
Qui bono. The Cicero.
We.
Cicero's famous line, qui bono. That's what we ask on this show. Qui bono. Who benefits? Suicide bombers? Qui bono. Hurricanes devastating Florida? Qui bono, I ask you again. Yeah, whether it's hurricanes smashing into Florida, wildfires blowing down Colorado, suicide bombers in London, the answers are the same. Those behind it, those benefiting, those perpetrating it, are the bees, the killer bees, Blair, Bush, Bin Laden, the all-star bee team. Yeah, they're making big money doing this. We had more proof of this, obviously, coming out yesterday from Bechtel. Bechtel, U.S. contractor, looks like they're behind some of the shenanigans in the U.K. rail system in order to take control of the U.K. rail system. Looks like they may have staged some problems there, similar to the London bombing staging on Thursday to help Bechtel and these other contractors gain control of assets that were once owned by the public, but would rather be owned by private contractors and private corporations and private bankers who stand to make lots of money at our expense. Yeah, suicide bombers, that's the name of the game here, apparently, in London. Got some suicide bombers. I ask you this, though. What do you call people that suck down a lot of carbon dioxide every single day to help Exxon shareholders get rich? Suicide bombers. There's millions and millions of suicide bombers all over the world. They're called consumers. Suicide consumers. Suicide bombers. Suicide consumers. Suicide consumers in the UK. Suicide consumers in the United States. Consuming themselves to death so that a few people can get rich. Doesn't make sense, but neither does a suicide bomber. Why would you have a suicide consumer? I don't know. On this show, La Frick Show on Paris Live Radio, we track our model portfolio. These are investments that we recommend to try and keep ahead of the killer bees, Blair, Bush, and Bin Laden. We still like gold. We've been buying gold all year, thinking gold can go to $2,000 an ounce as the triumph of the private contractors over the public good wreaks utter havoc in the financial markets, and gold should do very, very well in this environment. We still like the euro. We've done well with our euro. We've been buying the euro since it was trading at 85, 89 cents to the dollar. And then when it got to $1.20, of course, Warren Buffett and George Soros jumped in on the bandwagon. It's been kind of flat the last few weeks, but now it's starting to make a big move up again. We like the volatility options, the VIX, V-I-X, the volatility options. If you want to capitalize on all the mayhem and the corporate-sponsored bombers in various locations, you want to buy these option straddles on the VIX. It's a way for you to benefit, keep your wealth intact as it's trying to be stolen by various government officials and cabinet members of the Blair administration. What else do we like? We're looking for Las Vegas to be the next big boom-boom town in America, judging by the put action. A lot of puts are being bought on Harrah's, which is a casino in Las Vegas. This would indicate that the corporations have hired some bad guys to go into Las Vegas and blow it up for their own personal benefit. And, you know, just got to look at the markets. We don't need advanced intelligence. We don't need to lobby insiders in the government to tell us this stuff. Just look at where the money's going. Follow the money. La Frick Show at Paris Live Radio. My name is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. Looking at the news headlines circling the globe, I see that the BBC has edited out the word terrorist. The BBC has re-edited some of its coverage of the London Underground and bus bombings to avoid labeling the perpetrators as terrorists. Early reporting of the attacks on the BBC's website spoke of terrorists, but the same coverage was changed to describe the attackers simply as businessmen. The BBC's guidelines state that its credibility is undermined by the careless use of words which carry emotional or value judgments. Consequently, the word terrorist itself can be a barrier to business. Rather than aid to understanding, and its use should be avoided, the guideline says. After all, we're all about business. Rod Little, a former editor of the Today program, was accused of BBC of institutionalized political correctness. in his coverage of the British Muslims. After all, he said, these are just cannon fodder for our private contractors to make mayhem in order to gain contracts and line their pockets. Remember, it's about business, he said. A BBC spokesman said last night, the word terrorist is not banned from the BBC, but we only use it in cases where we can get a clear and defined payday. So the BBC obviously stepping into the breach, setting the tone, setting guidelines. Unless we get paid, you can't use the word terrorist. They're going to take out a copyright on the use of terrorists. You can only use terrorists. We own the copyright. You can't use it. You got to give us a payday. Otherwise, just use the more generic term, which applies in this case, businessman or businessmen. These are businessmen. They're conducting business. Suicide bombers are, you know, poor schlubs that have been hired by businessmen to help them further their business ends. It's not ideological. It's not political. It's not geographic. It's financial. It's financial. Yeah, well, people will get hip to this fact more sooner later. Sooner or later. I see that in the UK, I was just told by Stacey Herbert that there's going to be two new magazines launched by Maxim Magazine and somebody else that's going to be nothing but gambling. Pure gambling magazines. Remember, we reported already, we had two incidents of pure gambling on human life in the last week. The options contracts bought on oil in America pre the bombs of Thursday, showing insider trading. They knew that the bombs were coming. They profited. And we also saw some massive positions accumulating in, what was the second example? I've drawn a blank.
In oil and, from the last week before the terrorist bomb.
Or this week. Oh, yeah, that's right. On Thursday, you had a lot of 8,000 contracts were traded by people in spread bets that they were taking advantage then of the blood. So now there's a couple of magazines coming out in the UK that's going to be dedicated to nothing but gambling. Maxim, of course, they cater to the young jihadist who's making a profession out of gambling on the outcome of their neighbors getting blown up. It's business, Sonny. It's nothing but business. Now, meanwhile, Charles Kennedy, who is a voice of sanity in the House of Commons, he had an interesting comment yesterday. Reiterating his calls for a clear timetable for withdrawal of British troops, going hand in hand with political progress, Mr. Kennedy insisted that the status quo was not a credible option. The Liberal Democrat leader trod a fine line between blaming terrorists for such attacks, saying it falls firmly on their shoulders alone, and suggesting that the occupation of Iraq and the Israeli-Palestine standoff are these guys' main recruiting sergeants. Wow. As if the Palestine and Israel standoff had anything to do with any of these attacks. My God, the politician is drawing a line between these two. He must be the one guy in the House of Commons who's not completely and utterly drunk, which is ironic because people accuse him of being drunk. He's the only one who's sober. Anyway, if you want to understand the Israeli-Palestinian situation, just think eminent domain. You know, eminent domain. It's like the Israelis claimed eminent domain. They decided they needed Palestinian territory. They needed more condos. These people had been living there for many, many, many years. They got in the way. They got to get out of the way. We need more condos. So those people in Connecticut now are facing the same situation. Private interest, moving in, pushing you off your land because you're getting in the way of commercial interests. It's eminent domain. Remember the Indians in America. They got in the way of the railway. Kill them. You know, that was the solution. The final solution. That was already in place you know, in the 18th century, the 19th century in America, they already implemented the, quote, final solution. You know, eminent domain. This is just another variation on the theme. Final solution. Israeli wants condos? Get rid of the Palestinians. It's eminent domain. In the UK, they want to make room for the Olympics Village in East London. Get the hell out of the way. It's eminent domain. We need this for commercial purposes. Forget that you've lived there your whole life. We need to make money. Yep, it's easy to make money when the central banks keep interest rates artificially low. Anyone with political connections can borrow money virtually for free, claim eminent domain, kick people off their land, build projects. That's what's going on. That's why there's so much unrest in the world, let's call it unrest. So anyway, Charles Kennedy goes on to say that the way we went to war in the first place, as well as the mismanagement of the aftermath, have fueled the conditions in which terrorism flourishes. All right, he's making an interesting point there, that the war, remember, is a false prospectus. It's only fueling terrorism. Iraq and 9/11 were two different and distinct security issues, but now we have the worst of both worlds. An unstable Iraq free of the tyranny of Saddam, but facing the tyranny of suicide bombers. Right. Well, suicide bombers. These are mercenaries that have been hired to destabilize the situation for capital gains. They're not really ideological based. Keep that in mind. Mr. Kennedy's speech at the Institute of Contemporary Arts in London covered the need for realistic reform of the EU, a better focus on international development in the global environment, on which he was skeptical about the results of last week's G8 summit. We covered that on this show. The G8 summit's a big sham. Live 8 with Bob Geldof merely supported the businessmen moving into Africa with their mercenaries to kill for profit. What he called the support and development of the system of the international law, which doesn't exist, which the U.S.-led invasion, he said, has undermined. That's right. The U.S. and the U.K. going into war falsely has undermined international law and created a more lawless society and has created now the conditions for more acts of violence. Military action against Iraq was not taken as a last resort. It was calculated not to enforce disarmament, but to secure regime change. International law did not support the invasion of Iraq. Okay, so he once again emphasizes the point that the entire invasion was illegal, unlawful, and merely there to support commercial interests for a few rich guys. And, you know, then he goes on to say, he finishes up this piece in the Guardian newspaper, that we have to go forward preaching values and not commercial interests, and that there's a difference between commercial interests and universal values. And that's very true. There are commercial interests, which are extraordinarily narrow, and then there are values that are universal. The values that are universal, you see them in countries that express universal values, and in countries like France, for example, is a good place to express universal values. It's a country that places values over profits, and the results are clear. It's you just come to France, and as 70 million people do every year, it's the most visited country in the world. They come and they are in awe of a society that's actually in harmony, that's actually working, that's quite beautiful. It represents civilization. They don't need to go down the road to Euro Disney to see a fake imitation. They just sit here sit in Paris and are awestruck at what a civilized society looks like. Yep, that's right, here at the Frick Show on Paris Live Radio. We're one of the projects we got going is emigration, as I try to emigrate to Europe away from the police state of the United States, something that any sane individual would pursue. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about Madonna. She's got some ghostwriters ghostwriting her material, apparently. We're going to be talking about a new young journalist in The Guardian. Is making a very interesting comment about Fallujah. We're also going to be talking about that the U.S. has lifted the ban on troops entering London. As a matter of fact, I'm going to mention that right now. Remember last week, Stacey, or I should say yesterday, I said, you know, this is amazing that the U.S. is barring troops from entering London because, after all, they spend a lot of money training these mercenaries and they don't want them to go into London and risk getting blown up. You know, but at the same time, they're encouraging tourists to go into London and spend all their money. So obviously, this is looks bad. So a few hours after making that statement, they totally reversed themselves. And the advice banning thousands of American servicemen and women based in Britain from entering London in the wake of the terrorist attacks has been lifted. But we know what the sentiment there is. Mercenaries are valuable. Consumers are collateral damage. Consume until you make everybody rich and then die. Love it. More with the Frick Show right after this.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris, more live, and more radio.
All right, Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey, Le Frick Show. The email address to email us, and we read our emails throughout the course of this show, lefrickshow@gmail.com. Lefrickshow@gmail.com. Send us an email. Yeah, we got listeners all over the world, principally in Orange County, California. Big listeners in Orange County, California, they love this show. They love the show because they live in the cradle of hallucination, Hollywood. This show appears to them as a shock of reality. They love the contrast. Let's shoot it. Let's write it. Let's make a movie. Orange County, California. Well, this is a quick little item I thought was kind of interesting for the New York Times. Guess how much hotels overbill business customers over the course of a year? Stacey Herbert? I know I told you the answer yesterday, but you have to pretend like you don't know the answer.
$5.
Business travelers have studied their hotel bills closely and have discovered that they're being overcharged. Yes, a $5 a night here, $10 a night there can add up when you're spending $1 million a year on hotels, said one business person. So it all adds up to guess how much hotels are overcharging their business customers over the course of each and every year. Yes, the number works out to $500 million. $500 million. That's a lot of money. When you consider that the relief for Africa is $1 billion a year, according to the G8, if those guys had just merely paid their hotel bills, it probably would have been $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $60,000 just to overcharges right for that G8 conference. Could have sent that to Africa right away, wired it to Africa. You could have saved some lives.
Well, we taxpayers were probably overcharged already for Glen Eagles.
Taxpayers getting raped. Businessmen are being, suckered by other businessmen who own these hotels. And they figure, well, you know, you're a thief, I'm a thief. You know, they say that in a leper colony like America, you try to go to the guy with the most fingers. That's the guy you trust. Well, why not get out of the leper colony? Why not just have an honest accounting? How about that for a change? Yeah, because, like we're saying here, $500 million, that could go a long way toward relieving poverty in various countries around the world. You know, I just need to actually have honest accounting. But honest accounting would mean having honest books, which means would have honest balance sheets and honest stock prices and an honest accounting of the environment and an honest accounting of why we've got environmental problems and why we've got all this random violence. Why? It's bad accounting. It's all based on bad accounting and money. Well, what else we got here in the Guardian newspaper? Here's a young trainee journalist who's writing, Mr. Aslam. He's talking about that as police announced yesterday, four men blew themselves up in the name of Islam. Then please let us do ourselves a favor and not act shocked. Shocked would be to imply that we were unaware of the imminent danger when, in fact, Sir John Stevens, then Metropolitan Police Commissioner, warned us last year that an attack was inevitable. Remember that? He warned us last year.
I remember. We were there.
Shocked would be to suggest we didn't appreciate that when Fallujah was flattened, the people under it were dead, but not forgotten. Long after we had moved on to reading more interesting headlines about the Olympics, it is not the done thing to make such comparisons, but Muslims on the street do. Some 2,749 people were killed in the 9/11 attacks. To discover the cost of, quote, liberating Iraqis, you need to multiply that figure by 8, and still you will fall short of the estimated minimum of 22,787 civilian Iraq casualties to date. Of course, according to The Lancet in the UK, that number is closer to 100,000. So according to the man on the street, there's a symmetry to be made between Fallujah and the London bus attacks. Well, that makes sense because there's a war going on. You've got these eminent domain, asset-grabbing, land-grabbing, Palestinian-bashing, Muslim-hating, American and U.S. corporations and U.K. corporations trying to take over another country's assets. They are fighting back. Duh! But, it's more convenient to put it under a shroud of some ideological nonsense, as if they hate life and we love life. Our God is bigger than your God. Yeah, it gets back to the old weenie waving. The old weenie waving of business. You end up with these guys trying to get bigger and bigger yachts to prove that they are, in fact, smarter because they've got a bigger yacht. So you've got the UK and the US bombing various countries to prove that they are right because, after all, if they weren't right, so many people wouldn't be dead. It's the logic of the Crusades. It's the logic of the suicide bomber. Basically, the U.S. is on a suicide mission. This is a suicide mission, Iraq. It's killing America. It's killing the U.K. It's killing their economies. They're blowing all their money in there. They're exposing all their faulty accounting. The real estate market is being exposed as a huge bubble financed by corrupt bankers. Who's suiciding who? You've got individual suicide bombers on the bus, but you've got a whole country suicide bombing itself in the UK and the US. They can't seem to kill themselves fast enough. Well, look at the consumption model. We consume until we die to make a few insiders rich. So, you know, it's played out on many levels. Meanwhile, the values themselves, the cherished values. Let me give you an example of cherished values, uplifting a society to a place where you don't see the same kind of random violence, okay? Now, last year, Stacey Herbert, in this country, in France, there was a debate over headscarves. The French government said to the population, the Islam population, the Muslim population, that they would not be allowed to wear headscarves because, after all, in France, we pursue a secular society. It's not a religious-based society. It's a secular society. That's the point of our public institutions, to provide a public place for things like education and health care, transportation. The deal is that you let us give you all these things with your tax dollars, and what you do is simply adhere to the guidelines and rules of society, which means that there is no competition from competing ideologies in the public space, schools, hospitals, rails. So don't wear headscarves. Now, there was some debate at the time. People felt this was imposing on their right to express themselves. But at the end of the day, they weighed secularism versus religiousism, and they figured out that secularism is a better deal. It's a better deal. So now in the UK and the US, you would think would be secular societies that respect the rights of man, that respect freedom and democracy. But now they've tilted in the other direction. They respect, they promote religious fundamentalism in both, all over the world, in the Mideast and in the UK and the US. They're promoting religious fundamentalism. The US, right, the evangelicals, they're not a secular society. They want to put they don't respect freedom and democracy. They have no idea of the history of the Enlightenment, that there's such a thing as the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, which they're rapidly trying to get rid of to promote their religious ends, which, according to them, if you work through the machinations of their illogical way of thinking, turns out to be profit seeking. They seek profit. Not Jesus the prophet, not Muhammad the prophet, not Moses the prophet, but Exxon the prophet seeker, profit maximizer. They've confused prophet with profit.
Yeah, but the Islamic fundamentalism, to me, always seems like, okay, you got the suicidal maniacs, but in America, you seem to have the homicidal maniacs. They're the ones that are always like baying for blood, whether it's black people in their backyard or Muslims abroad, or they just love, it seems, death. As well, you know, they say, oh, they love death, we love life. I think they all love death, from what I can see in the newspapers that we read every morning on the way here to Le Fric Show on Paris Live Radio, Canal Satellite 118.
There's more money in death than life. That's the way the economy is set up. There's more money in fear than hope. That's the way the economy is set up. I know, as working from a stockbroker, it's easier to get someone to sell a stock out of fear than to buy a stock out of hope. To get someone to buy a stock because they hope to make money is not easy to do. You've got to instill in them this idea that they need to have faith and hope that the stock's going to go up. They need to buy the stock. After they buy the stock, to get them to sell using fear is much easier. You simply say, uh-oh, you're going to lose some money, and all the bad things are going to happen, and it's easier to scare somebody out of a stock than it is to get them into a stock. But, and this is, a stockbroker knows this, bankers know this, and brokers know this, and this is why it's easier for them when they are selling these big institutions, huge boatloads full of derivative contracts. They get them into the accounts of these people, but to make a commission, they scare them out. And this is why you've got so much volume in these derivative contracts. It's not because there's a need to have volume. It's a need to create commissions, a need to create fees, a need to, like the hotels, stealing $500 million a year from people, nickel and diming them. It adds up. So when you have these huge institutions like the IMF and the World Bank, and they get Africa into these bad loan schemes, they're making fees, then they get them out of the loan schemes, then they forgive some loans, then they make some new loans, because they're making fees. They're nickel and diming them to death. This is the IMF and the World Bank model. This is the Citigroup model. This is the ATM model. When you go to the ATM, you need to charge you $1.50 to get your own money. You're being nickel and dime to death. I mean, this is how this is. But they do it over a huge slice of the population. They're hoping people just don't notice. You know, oh, so what? The bank ripped me off for $2 this month. Well, you know, millions of people are getting ripped off every month for $2. The same $2 over millions of people, if it's sent to the developing world, would get rid of the conditions that lead to suicide bombers in London. It's a direct cause. There's a cause and effect for you. Now, if you don't think that that effect is the result of that cause, you should send me an email or call me and, you know, represent yourself. Because since you don't, then you know what I'm saying is true. You know, anyone who is just sitting there taking this all in, there's their little light bulbs going off in their head, and they're going, yeah, you know what? He's right. Every time Citigroup, you know, bilks me for $2, that's another reason for a suicide bomber. It's all very clear if you follow the money. We'll be back with more of the Frick Show
right after these words.
Don't touch that dial, or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
Yeah, this is the Frick Show, Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey. Talking about the incentive for corporations and government to get their populations to consume themselves to death. It's big money. Plus, they don't want people having abortions because that would diminish the pool of saps entering the consumer pool. So says evangelicals. We love new babies. We love to put a cigarette in their mouth, get them hooked up on Starbucks. We're making money. Don't have an abortion. It's killing our business model. Well, speaking of business models in the pharmaceutical industry and the cause and effect of turning democracy, freedom-seeking individuals into consumeraholics, dying on the altar of corporate profit. This is an interesting story. They discovered that patients treated with drugs for Parkinson's disease can turn into compulsive gamblers.
Are they going to be handing this out with these new gambling magazines in London?
Doctors in America treated 11 patients who had a change of personality when prescribed drugs that mimicked the behavior of mood chemical dopamine. One of them was a clergyman who said that he had become obsessed with gambling. And a woman patient lost $1,000, $100,000, and broke up her marriage as a result of the same obsession. She could not drive past a casino without going in. Other patients lost as much as $200,000 in 6 months. When the drugs were withdrawn, the gambling habit disappeared. Well, this is beautiful. You know, this is what America's been waiting for. Legalize gambling. Of course, in the UK, they're going to legalize gambling. They're going to open up super casinos. And you've got a hardcore gambling culture already in the UK with the spread betting market, which is just a kind of a glossy gambling market. And now they've got drugs that turn people into compulsive gamblers. You see, they don't even want to go through the economics of having people be compulsive consumers and having to take all that money, all those products from China, because they don't want to give China that money anymore. People compulsively buying no good crap at Walmart, sending all that money to China. They just want to give them this drug, so they go right to the casino. They get easy loans from the bank because interest rates are artificially low. They take on huge debts. Of course, the casinos and everyone else gets fees. The hotels will scalp them. It's part of their $500 million a year scalping binge. And then when the consumer gets in debt to the point where they can't handle it anymore, they kill themselves. They're suicide consumers. This is what we see in America, suicide consumers, people consuming themselves to death. They're suicide consumers for the same people. The same people who are blowing themselves up on a bus in London to help Bechtel score points and get more contracts. These same people will go to Las Vegas and consume themselves to death, gamble themselves to death to score points for Bechtel. And Bechtel's buddies over there at pernicious little organization of ex-presidents and
Carlisle.
Carlisle.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's all blow ourselves up for Bechtel. Wee-haw! It's all beautiful. Oh, no.
Oh.
There we have visitors.
Dear, speaking of the bees, here's the Brazilian.
Stop it. Oh, my God. Fantastic.
I noticed that this dopamine drug also causes a few other behavioral problems, including compulsive eating, increased alcohol consumption, and an insatiable appetite for sex. It all sounds like the end of the... Remember the Roman Empire? Maybe I think they discovered this drug way back then, and look what happened to them.
Wow. This is fantastic. This is the answer to America's problems. This is you don't need. They'll just feed this to people in the womb. They feed it to the womb. They outlaw abortion because the mother will be like, "Oh my God!" You know, the thing about the womb is that they're going to start marketing to the womb through the umbilical cord. So little babies are racking up gambling debts before they're even born, fetal gambling debts. And these little babies are going to try to abort themselves to avoid paying the debts when they're born. But they won't let them. It's illegal. They got to be born and face the debts. So what are they going to do? They take on new loans. This goes on for a few years until eventually the little baby, the 7-year-old, with like $500,000 in debt. You can't take it anymore. You know, so they get recruited by some other organization, some other businessman, you know, to blow up a bus, to help Bechdel get her some other contract. You know, they did it for the contract. They did it for the glory of making these people rich.
To clear their loans.
To clear their loans.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Well, this is really fantastic. Parkinson's patients have reduced levels of dopamine, which relays mainly brain cells. Oh boy! Well, this is a fantastic story. I have a lot of hope now for the casino stocks getting hammered in some event. Only very moments away now from the weather report. You know, the weather report comes up at when does it come up? 37 past the hour? 38 past the hour?
38 past the hour.
On the weather report, of course, we cover, global breakdown of weather. The freak weather. And that's coming up in a mere 2 minutes. Before the weather report, though, let's just touch on this little item I saw at CFO.com. This is the website for CFOs, chief financial officers.
Isn't that like the gambling magazine?
This is like, the back office. The back office for the casinos, the CFOs, they're counting the money. They're doing all the shady deals.
Yeah.
So apparently the rising dollar may trim repatriations of dollars. You know that the Fortune 500, the biggest corporations in America, were allowed to take all the profits they made overseas and repatriate that money back to America without paying any taxes. Because
they've just had it so hard.
Well, the government wanted to help strengthen the U.S. dollar. Because people were understanding that the huge deficits in America were making the dollar less and less valuable. So they gave the huge corporations like Johnson & Johnson that sells baby oil and baby products all over the world. They accumulate huge, huge amounts of cash. And to bring that cash back home, you know, they pay taxes on that cash. But the U.S. government gave them a tax holiday and said, you don't need to pay any taxes on this. So anyway, the fact that the dollar has been rising recently has disincentivized now a lot of these corporations from sending the money back to the U.S. And based on public disclosures, foreign exchange flows, and client discussions, Citigroup reportedly estimated that barely $50 billion has been returned so far this year. Wow, that's all. They estimated more than $100 billion remains to be converted, mostly from euros, but also the yen, sterling, Swiss franc. One of the big perpetrators of this scam, Pfizer. They've got nearly $37 billion. Anyway, more on this, but we got to get into the weather situation. Here's the weather girl, Stacey Herbert. What's happening?
Hi, I'm the weather girl, Stacey. And Barbados, Grenada, the Grenadines, St. Vincent, and St. Lucia have been put on hurricane watch as Tropical Storm Emily gathers pace and strengthens and heads for yet another hurricane, yet again, one of the earliest ever in the season. So it looks like she might be heading for the Gulf once again this weekend. So oil prices are skyrocketing. You know, once again, insider trading by Lee Raymond at Exxon. He just opens those methane valves in his trousers, sets out a little more global warming, and makes money big time. As oil goes up.
So there's another hurricane heading to the Gulf.
Yeah.
Emily. What do we think? We knew the name would be starting with an E. What did we guess? Eloise.
Yes.
For the girl in the
plaza. I actually
also figured
Emily because because I'm an Emily Dickinson fan.
Yeah, right.
And she was all about death and destruction.
Mm.
But, you know, women are always much more violent. So,
yeah.
And vengeful.
Don't I know.
And vengeful. So,
ooh,
let's hope,
yeah.
Let's hope she causes a bit more destruction than Dennis, because Dennis only caused about $2 billion worth of insurable damage in Florida and Alabama.
That's all?
Yeah. Dennis is now only 15-mile-per-hour winds heading for North Carolina.
Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, they figure they got about how many hurricanes this season, this year, thanks to global warming and the malfeasance of Exxon?
9. We've already... This is the 5th. No, this is actually the 2nd. So I guess we have more.
Wow.
More.
Heading their way down to Florida.
7 more. Especially, you know, as the water heats up, because, you know, in August it's going to be even warmer.
Mm.
So I think we're due for some spectaculars. And we told you 2 weeks ago, yeah. Go long on the Weather Channel.
That's right. Go long the Weather Channel.
They must be kicking butt right now.
And oil is back over 60, right?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the prognosis there is that oil will get to 80 in the short term, which would be adjusted for inflation. That's the old high. Back in the 1980s, okay, the actual price per barrel, if you adjust for inflation, to get to $80, would just simply match the old high. So this doesn't really include the fact that since the 80s, the overall supply of oil around the world has diminished pretty significantly. So the case for oil going to 100, 120 is being made by some economists, financial analysts on Wall Street and the city. Because, you know, they're running out of oil around the world. British Petroleum, I think they had a big rig knocked over due to this last hurricane.
In the Gulf, yes. Yeah, it's only, production is still at only 43%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking that Emily might come by and take it back down to 4%.
Well, okay, we're going to have another weather report next hour.
Of course, because Emily will be followed by Frank, I'm sure. And we're going to hear about Tropical Storm Frank right on Emily's butt.
Frank's a very dangerous man.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about our friends, the young American black man who's been sent to Iraq to get killed by U.S. contractors.
Uh-huh.
In that whole racist imbroglio called the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about on this show, it's the evangelicals want to take the black man's religion of Baptist revivalism.
Yeah.
And so they're sending him to the young black man to Iraq, and they're having U.S. white contractors kill him.
Yeah.
Pretty much what's going on.
And it's all because of the Neo-Bs. It's the only religion they could find that started with a B, other than Buddhism, I guess.
So you're a white guy, you're in Iraq, and they give you your marching orders. Go kill American black people, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's bad enough. If that's not bad enough, then the situation gets worse.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Evangelicals are a growing force in the military. So apparently these evangelicals are over there trying to convert these white guys who were sent to kill the black American buddies. They're trying to convert them to Christianity, to fundamentalism.
They're in Iraq doing this.
They're all over the world. They're in the U.S. They're in Iraq. They're everywhere.
They're in the London Underground. We've seen them there, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we had these evangelicals in the London Underground from America.
They tried to convert us.
Yeah, remember that a couple of months ago?
That scary-looking man. He looked like the guy from Waco, Texas. Who is that guy? The one who went nutso there? He looked exactly like that guy.
Yeah, what was his name? I don't know. We spit on this guy.
We did.
This evangelical in the tube. Go home. Go back to your trailer park. Go back to your red state. Get the hell out of here. Yep. Oh, well, it's too late because less than a year later, you had the other businessman from America doing the bus thing on Thursday. Oh, dear. Well, you know, Madonna's in the news, my friends. Madonna, famous singer.
Oh, yeah. Actually, she's called Eloise or something like that. Esther. She changed her name to Esther.
To fit with her new conversion? She's a religious fundamentalist now?
Yeah.
I'm going to close this door, so just keep talking.
Okay. Yeah, Esther, the Kabbalistic, is her Kabbalistic name. With her
cabal.
In her cabal of Madonna. Of Madonna worshippers.
Da-da-da-da-da. All right, so you got Madonna here. She's in the middle of a big row, as they say in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Which means fight, for those of us who are not in the UK.
Yeah.
apparently her children's books, which were Kabbalah inspired, were not written by her, but they were ghostwritten.
Oh, well, that's a real shock.
So apparently some insider claims that the story is the English Roses and Mr. Peabody's Apples, Yakov and the Seven Thieves, and her new book, Latsa Dikesha, were mainly written by the Kabbalah Center's official ghostwriter. They have an official ghostwriter over at the Kabbalah Center, not just some intern who writes these kids' books. They're official. Yeah, well, we're going to get into this story a little bit more deeply on the Frick Show, so don't go away. Stay tuned. Money more coming your way right after this.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation on the groove. It's a big family.
It's 10:49 in Paris. This is Paris Live Radio. Le Frick Show with Max and Stacy. We're talking about Madonna. The phone number in the studio, by the way, is 01-425-41659. 01-425-41659. Yeah. Madonna is apparently in the middle of a big row that somebody has ghostwritten her children's books. As if, well, I don't know why you need a ghostwriter for children's books. It's kind of beyond me. But anyway, she has a ghostwriter for her children's book. Someone from the Kabbalah Center. And so far, Madonna's spokesperson has failed to comment. Apparently, the ghostwriter also writes all of the Rabbi Yehuda and Philip Berg's books and the Kabbalah books for the center. He flew to London to help Madonna write the last book. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was revealed that Madonna wants to turn her debut children's book, The English Roses, into a movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, she was recently at the Live 8 show, wasn't she, Madonna, with Bob Geldof?
Yeah, she was performing there, blessing the crowds with her presence.
Mm-hmm.
And breasting.
She was breasting them. The pop superstar is also married to director Guy Ritchie, said, "It takes forever to get a movie made, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed." So she had to marry Guy Ritchie. To get her fingers uncrossed.
Yeah, and look what's happened to his career.
Really, totally in the tank.
Madonna recently needs a ghost director.
Recently revealed she was launching a range of toys and accessories in connection with the English Roses. Boy, she's really cashing in on these kids, huh?
Really? Well, she cashed in on the Africans last weekend. Yeah. Now she's cashing in on the kids, you know.
Well, I contrast that story to something I read today in the paper, which is what to tell the kids. The London bombs have left a lot of children very frightened. So I'm thinking, what if Madonna were to write a book for these kids? You know, to help them ease the pain of the London bombs. They need someone to help them explain what's going on. You see what I'm saying? It's not the London roses or the roses of London. It's the bombs on the tube, you idiot, by Madonna. And it's for kids to help them ease their way through the transition. So you could have Madonna, I mean, what would it call? It would call, what's some of the titles of her book here? The English Roses, the English Posers. The English posers who insist that there's no connection between what happened on Thursday and their business model. The English posers who insist that they're not completely raping the globe with environmental terror with their warming trends and their climate change and the flooding due to their warped business model. You know, he's like, here, little Emily, time for your Madonna story. You know, it's all about how your daddy goes to work every day and works for the bank and the hedge fund and rapes the planet unmercifully so that you and I can buy all of our jewels and our furs down at
Tiffany.
What's the name of that store? That really posh store.
Harrods.
No, the other one. The
one Harvey Nicks.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. It's a kid's show. This is a children's book by Madonna about how the kid's daddy works at a hedge fund to kill the globe, encourage violence, so that Madonna and her kids can go to Harvey Nichols.
Mm-hmm. And she'll probably encourage them to buy that Kabbalah water, which, you know, it's like $10 for a 1 liter bottle of water, and they say it protects you from cancer. It cures cancer, in fact.
Mr. Peabody's apples. It should be Mr. Peabody's toxic apples. Thanks to your daddy working at the hedge fund. The new kids book by Madonna. Yakov and the Seven Thieves. It could be, who's ahead of the Mervyn King? Who's ahead of the bank?
Mervyn King.
I think he's got a new guy there now. Alan Greenspan, the seven hedge funds. Here's one. Lots of Dekasha. So they make lots of Kasha every time one of these things blows up. They make lots of Kasha.
Madonna. Yeah, I made lots of Kasha. What are you going to do?
Lots of Kasha. Ripping off your kids with my little kids book and then the movie and then the toys that are made in China. More environmental problems. Madonna's got to be one of the biggest environmental catastrophes. She's probably more of an environmental catastrophe than even Lee Raymond over at Exxon.
If you think of all the money
she generates, all the Chinese goods, all the mines she's infected with her materialism, the material girl, which of course supports this whole nightmare of consumerism, overconsumption. Then she goes on Live 8, which promotes a business model which rapes Africans.
Did you see
that? She's a dangerous woman, this woman, Madonna.
Actually.
And she's under the whole cloud of the fundamentalist Madonna thing. She's got the whole, you know, Christian metaphors to rape and pillage with.
But she's trying to be a good mother. Do you see she has a little 8-year-old girl, 9-year-old girl,
mm-hmm.
and she's trying to teach her the value of money.
Mm.
And so she's set a $10,000 limit to her credit card. £10,000, that's like $20,000.
Yeah, well, it started in the womb, right? The kid had a credit card in the womb with a £1,000 limit. Now that the kid's 8 years old, it's been raised to £10,000. Pretty soon, when you get £150,000 in debt, you're going to do a little neckerchief in the closet, dead. Madonna cashes in. She probably bought spread bets against her own kids on Cantor Fitzgerald spread betting exchange. She bought bets against her own kids making it to the age of 10. If the kids get so in debt that they kill themselves, Madonna gets a payoff. Well, she's hedged. The material girl knows how to hedge herself. She's totally hedged.
Yeah, I've seen that book, Sex. I know she's hedged.
She's got a good hedge. She's got a nice hedge. Meanwhile, speaking of bankruptcy, in America, they can't file bankruptcy fast enough. Changes in the law triggers. More Chapter 11 filings. Corporate liquidations. On October 17th, the law changes. So you've got thousands and thousands of people in America rushing to file bankruptcy before this new law takes effect, which makes it virtually impossible to reorganize yourself under what's called Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which gives you some protection against your creditors to reorganize yourself. Of course, corporations have that ability to do so, but individuals, no. They don't have that. They don't have that ability to do so. If they get sick and there's no health care, they have to take on a debt. If they can't pay the debt, then they no longer have Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. They got to just go right into the human battery farm, the Matrix, get it, you know, and start selling their organs on eBay, start harvesting themselves to pay off the credit card, help Citigroup get over another record quarter, another 30% quarter earnings gainer. The changes will make it tougher for companies filing bankruptcy to find financing they need to fund operations. During the organization, bankruptcy lawyer James, whatever his name is, of Kirkland and Ellis in Chicago told the newspaper. And he's looking for a lot more liquidations. Among the other changes in the law, of course, this will apply to companies 18 months during which management alone can present a plan for operating a reorganized company, blah, blah, blah. They are going to protect landlords, of course, because it's under eminent domain. You got to protect the landlord. The landlord comes in. They steal the assets. They set up a condo for hedge fund managers. Everyone else declares bankruptcy. Then they have no protection. Then they got to stick them in the human battery farm and consume themselves to death. Or they give them that drug to go to casinos and gamble their way to death. But, of course, the casino makes a few bucks. The stockholders get happy. But you died for Jesus. You died for the consumptive Jesus. Jesus was, what SUV would Jesus have driven? Oh, dear. Well, so they got the pharmaceutical industry changing the drugs to make people consumer-holics against their will. You've got government changing the laws for bankruptcy so people have no protection at all once they get into bankruptcy thanks to the drugs they've been given by the pharmaceutical industry. See, that's called collusion. That's called collusion. It's called market manipulation. And you create a society that's addicted to drugs that make them gambleaholics, and then you take away all their protection once they go into bankruptcy thanks to all the credit cards they've racked up. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to lash out in a violent way. But, of course, these guys are hedging the violence market because you can go into the options market and the futures market and buy a hedge against people freaking out and doing violent acts and make money again. There's no way you can't make money on this because it's not a market. It's not a free market. That's over with. This is now pure and utter slave model. You just got to convert people into consumer slaves, gambling slaves, consumeraholics, gambleaholics. It's no loss, no lose.
Hello?
10:58 in the morning. Well, we got a new story on Senator Scrotum in America.
Pennsylvania.
Yep. He's walking with his wife here to a news conference. He's in the news again. We can talk about Senator Scrotum.
Did he fail to pay his taxes? Is that something? All right.
He loses some cyber school tuition fight. Have you been reading this story?
Cyber school?
Mm-hmm.
We're
going to get into this after the break. I love tracking the exploits of Senator Scrotum. He's one of these fundamentalist nincompoops that's dragging America into the cesspool.
Speaking of fundamentalists in a cesspool, what do you think is the most polluted town in all of America? Which state do you think it's in?
Texas?
No.
Louisiana?
No.
Detroit?
No. The number one and two position held by Florida. Valrico and Lakeland, according to CNN and Forbes.
Really?
It has a pollution index of 248. When the average across the states is 100.
How do they get to be so polluted in Florida?
You ask me.
Did they
ask them? Like, you know, this is where they do all that testing. Like the government, Bush asked them, "Will you pollute yourself for Jesus?"
Oh, right, man. Right after this, it's the Frick Show. Stay tuned.
From the heart of Paris, tune into Paris Live Radio.
Oh, that's great. This just in. We're back up on the satellite.
Breaking news. Yay.
Technical problems have been resolved.
Woohoo!
The space shuttle has been launched and it went and fixed our satellite.
Oh, that's fantastic. We got our own satellite up there in orbiting planet Earth. It's the Paris Live Radio satellite.
Hey, I wonder if we can email those astronauts about to take off today from Florida. You know, they're launching the space shuttle today. I wonder if we could get them to, like, wave to our satellite.
Yeah, well, it's the most polluted state in the union, so they're trying to get away from that state, aren't they?
And before the next hurricanes come.
Before they don't want to escape the next hurricanes. Oh, wait, we have another message. I love these messages we get, written messages. When, you know, it's all about sound, I would have thought, you know, verbalization. Like, and now I'm hearing my delay in the office. Fly me.
You don't know. We're actually planning a surprise for you for 11:38. For 11:38. Everybody, you have to stay tuned for another 36 minutes to hear this surprise that I have engineered for you, the listening audience on Canal Satellite, Channel 118, News Radio, Channel 32.
I mean, I'm getting pretty comfortable slamming Americans and British people. You know that? You know, in this show? The last couple of weeks we've been doing this show, it doesn't seem like there's any limit to the amount you can bash Americans or British people. There seem to be a limitless kind of empty reservoir to accept my bashing. You know, I mean, think about what I've been saying about these people for the last 2 weeks. I've been saying that the British people are not stoic. It's stolishnaya, that they're drunk. Right? This is why they're indifferent to the bombs on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying Americans are these fat, obese, gambleaholic pigs that go to Vegas to kill themselves for hurrahs, you know? There's no barriers to this. I'm just going straight through, green light, green light, green light. Thanks to Paris Live Radio and the fact that no one's actually listening to this show. No, that's not true. We have an audience all over the world. And we're back on Canal Satellite Channel 118, News Radio Channel 32. I think.
In fact, we get many, many emails from Americans. They're all from the CIA, and they say, yes, we've got secret files on every American, and you're right.
It's kind of interesting that our two biggest states that listen to us are California, which is the biggest state in America, and Virginia, which is the headquarters of the CIA. Did you know that? That when you track, we do our traffic report, and the biggest downloads are California, followed by Virginia, which is not a big population state, but it is the CIA. See that? This is one of my patented table banging maneuvers I do on this show. It adds a lot to the, you know, audio quality.
It's one of the most educated states as well. So of course.
Yeah, tell us about the educated states. You got that survey over there.
Yeah, yeah. Lawrence took the sheet, but
it's right here now. I see it over there, the sheet. Lawrence, you can't blame Lawrence for stealing the sheet. Okay, he's in the sheets? What are you doing with Lawrence in the sheets?
You,
my God.
Max Kaiser, are one of the most educated radio DJs, radio presenters, radio speakers in the world.
How do you say that? Why do you say
You're
that?
You're from the number sixth most educated town in all of America. They ranked all of the towns, every single town. They went to all towns and studied all these numbers. And you come out at number six, Max Kaiser.
Tell me more. I like it so far. I like the story so far.
You're ahead of Cambridge and Princeton, even.
Cambridge, isn't that where Harvard is?
Yeah.
And Princeton, isn't that where Yale is?
No, that's where Princeton is.
Isn't that where Princeton is?
See, Yale is in New Haven.
See, I'm educated. I'm educated. Why? What town do I come from?
You come from Larchmont, New York.
That's right.
So you are the 42% of people from Larchmont go on to university.
That's right. I'm a yuppie prick from Larchmont, New York, with a lot of golf courses, a lot of rich people in the media business, bankers. Okay? Well, I criticize these people on this show all day long, every day. Why do I know them so well? Because I grew up there.
Yes,
Larchmont, New York.
Okay.
Home of the comedian. Joan Rivers was from Larchmont, New York.
Oh, was she? Okay.
So was Matt...
Lauer?
No, Matt the movie star. Matt...
Damon.
No, the other one.
Matt Lucas.
Dillon. Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon, oh.
He's from Larchmont, New York. As a matter of fact, he went to the same junior high school as I did. The junior high school, not Mamaroneck High School, but the, what are they called? The Hommocks. The Hommocks Junior High School. And then he was discovered there. They were roaming the hallways for Francis Ford Coppola. They were making a movie called Rumblefish.
What do you mean he was discovered?
These two casting agents.
Uh-huh.
They were looking for like a young punk to be in a Francis Ford Coppola movie called Rumblefish.
Were you there at the time?
He came after me. I was already in high school at that point.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You're older.
Yeah, I'm older. These two casting agents were in the hallway, and there was a kid cutting class, smoking a cigarette, and acting like a tough guy. They said, this kid looks perfect. He looks like a young, you know, delinquent. And they cast him in the movie. And now he became a big movie star. Matt Dillon from Larchmont, as I am from Larchmont.
Anyway, the CNN and Forbes did all these lists of, like, the most educated states, the least polluted, the highest earners, the education spending per student. But they also did the towns with the most golf courses.
Yeah.
What do you think the number one state is?
I would say, without a shadow of a doubt, the state with the most golf courses in America has to be Florida, along with the most pollution. It's got to be the most golf courses.
No.
No.
All 10 of the top 10 towns in America with the most amount of golf courses are in Illinois.
That's impossible. First of all, Illinois is freezing. Right? You can't play golf in the winter, so why even have a golf course?
Isn't it the windy state?
It's windy. Your golf ball blows all over the place. You hit a chip shot on the ninth, hole of one of those golf courses in Illinois, it ends up in Kansas. It gets picked up by a hurricane. Your golf ball's in Kansas. By the time you're down the ninth fairway having a cocktail,
I think
your ball's still floating around up there.
There needs to be an investigation because it doesn't make sense. So I think some crime is going on here. It has to do with the mafia, isn't Chicago's the number one, 262.
Golf courses in Chicago. The Windy City, it's freezing all winter long. They play. That's impossible. That's wrong. Your information is wrong.
Ask Forbes, you know.
Steve Forbes, he's a drunk again.
It has something to do with the mafia. That's the only thing I can make any sort of connection. Maybe all the golf balls are little cocaine balls, and they're just using this as a way to...
You can't play golf in a windstorm. In Chicago, you mean in Florida, it's sunny. It's very calm there, and that's where all the professional golfers, they tune up their golf game in Florida. You know, Tiger Woods is always in Florida tuning up for some big tournament. You never hear about, oh, yeah, Tiger Woods is tuning up for the Masters in Chicago or some Illinois golf course. You never hear that.
No.
But you would if there were so many golf courses, but they got this information. It's coming out of somebody's, the Book of Lies. This can't possibly, the Guinness Book of World Lies.
Guess what state has the highest earners?
I'm not going to finish with this golf ball situation until I want to mention one thing about Chicago, which maybe explains the anomaly.
What's that?
Because in Chicago, you got a lot of rich guys because it's where the Chicago Board of Options Exchange is, which is the futures market.
You're right, you
the
know.
Very, very wealthy people in Chicago and in the suburbs of Chicago. And hence, possibly, the need for many, many golf courses to give these guys something to do while they're waiting around for their bond trades to score them big bucks. Yeah, possibly.
That's a good idea.
There's also, of course, they're on Lake something or other. What's the big lake up there?
I don't know.
The Lake Michigan Lake.
Lake Michigan.
Michigan Lake, Lake Michigan. They got a lot of yachts and boats for these hedge fund guys and Chicago Board of Option Exchange guys while they're playing golf. Like, you know, I used to play golf on Nantucket myself back in the 80s. We used to finish working at Oppenheimer and Company. I was working there for a while doing the stockbroker thing. And on Friday, you know, we put a few trades on, then get the shuttle at LaGuardia to Nantucket. Then we'd take out my friend's yacht for a sail. Come back, play a few holes of golf, head over to the cable car, pound a few cocktails, sleep on the boat, wake up the next morning, Saturday morning, and all the other losers would be arriving then at Saturday morning. You know, we'd already been there, played golf, had a great meal. You know, that's the way you do it back then in the 80s. Nantucket, my boat, my friend's boat, not my boat, of course, my friend's boat, permanently moored on Nantucket all summer long. Great fun. 1987, right before the crash of 87. Right before the crash. We were playing Newmont Mining back then. Newmont Mining was going to be a takeover stock back in 87. T. Boone Pickens was going to take it over. Those were the days.
Okay.
I think I made once $175,000 in one day.